Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin.
Hello.
All right, Vin.
Yeah, all good.
We've had another lively week, haven't we?
It's been, I feel like it's been one of the quieter ones. It's saying that, we've still had some good guests, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Darren Brown was good fun. I would describe him as a different character we're used to coming into the studio.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah,
yeah. He's one of those guys that I felt self-conscious because I thought he would analyse every single one of my movements, my blinks, which the way I looked.
He must get that all the time as well,
yeah,
presumably.
Imagine so, wouldn't you? Maybe it's all just an act.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing the thing I noticed about him was that it felt like he wasn't performing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He was just being normal.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So maybe he switches it on and off. I don't know.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another thing. You're a great advocate for comedy in this country, Vin. You always recommend brilliant comedians to me. You have been raving about Taskmaster for quite a while now.
I think it's one of the best things on TV, yeah.
And oddly enough, we had Alex Horn on the show about 5 years ago, and he was really, really interesting. He was doing the Horn section around that time. And Taskmaster's a massive success. He popped in this week and he was a lovely fellow, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's your best friend.
And he gave us lots of information about John Robbins.
He did.
Which in quieter moments just make me giggle. An unusual neighbour, I think we'll describe John Robbins as. They live close together.
He was good though, Alex.
He was good, wasn't he? Taskmaster's brilliant. Go and check it out. We've got that on the show. Plus, every night this week, it was the week of the Mercury Prize. So every night we played a former winner of the most prestigious prize in music.
So Screamadelica, Franz Ferdinand, whatever people say, I'm that
sort of.
And whatever. And Different Class by Pulp.
That's right, yeah. Four nights of it was great. So if you want to hear that back, listen to this.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm going to talk some music with you now. Serious music. The Mercury Prize will be awarded on Thursday night. And if you don't know much about it, it's the prestigious annual music prize. It really is taken very seriously for British and Irish acts, and it can be a game changer for bands. Album sales always go through the roof, and the winner takes away a cheque for 20 grand, which is a big deal for a lot of the bands who are nominated earlier in their career. I should point out as well, Mike Walsh, one of the music geniuses here at Radio X, he is on the panel this year making the big decision. Quite right as well, he knows his tunes, Mike Walsh, a great man. Now, Primal Scream won the first ever prize in 1992 for Screamadelica. Radiohead have been nominated 5 times. PJ Harvey's the only artist to have won more than once, and past winners have included Elbow, Arctic Monkeys, Dizzy Rascal, Franz Ferdinand, Suede, Skepta, The XX, who could forget Talvin Singh as well. That was a big year. Anyway, the nominees this year include Alt-J for Relaxer, The XX for I See You, Blossoms for Blossoms, Sampha for Process, and Stormzy for Gang Signs and Prayer. Now, on the Evening Show, we always celebrate a weekly classic album, so I thought it was only right to take a look back at some of the past winners all through this week. Tonight, it's Screamadelica from 1992.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
Next.
Yeah, so cast your mind back 26 years ago to 1991. Primal Scream released their third album, Screamadelica. Now, usually I talk you through the album at this point, but let's just pause for a bit of music. Does this sound familiar to you? I do love this version, right enough. I do love it. But if you don't recognise it, this is I'm Losing More Than I'll Ever Have, which was on the previous self-titled Primal Scream album, released in 1989. Hear those trumpets? So, the magic dust was sprinkled on the album, in more ways than one, by DJ Andrew Weatherall. He remixed the tune, added a drum loop from an Italian bootleg of an Edie Brackle song, and it included Loaded, and Loaded was born, a magical song. Recognise it now? Unmistakable trumpets, aren't they? What a tune. Anyway, Screamadelica was a massive departure from the gloomy Glaswegian rockers' previous sound. Bobby Gillespie said they were influenced heavily by the Beach Boys, and you can hear that in the liberal use of layering, but it was the liberal use of other substances that played a huge part in the creation of Screamadelica too. There are gospel and dub influences, but you can't ignore that acid house feel on songs like Moving On Up. They became synonymous with drug taking and raves in the early 90s. The album rises above all that, though. It's full of grooves, and what an album cover as well, created by Creation Records in-house artist, a guy called Paul Cannell, and he was inspired by a damp water spot he'd seen in the Creation Records office's ceiling, apparently after he'd taken a bit of LSD. What about the musicians as well? Andrew Innes, Rob the Throbbing Guitar, Duffy on keys, and of course Bobby Gillespie. And that's why it won the first ever Mercury Music Prize in 1992. Here it is for you. Get your ears around this. 26 years old, this is Loaded.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
Next.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded. And we want to have a good time. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, wait, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a party.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Probably one of my favourite songs of all time, Primal Scream and Loaded. You are listening to the Monday Night Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. And all this week, every evening, I'll be playing a classic album with a winner of the Mercury Prize. So four nights of that, starting tonight with Screamadelica and Primal Scream from 1992. And just to place that victory in time, here were some of the other nominees. Erasure in Chorus. Big fan of Erasure. The Jesus and the Mary Chain, what a great year for Creation Records. The Honey's Dead, St. Etienne, Fox Bass Alpha, that was a great album. Simply Red and Stars, not so sure. But all this week, as I say, I'm going to be doing a winner of the Mercury Prize. And Thursday night, we'll probably have a chance to tell you who won it on air as well. And U2, Achtung Baby, they were nominated in 1992, Bono and Co. It was U2's seventh album, released in November 91, recording in Ireland and Berlin. And it was inspired, of course, by the German reunification as the wall came down. It included great songs, Mysterious Ways, The Fly, and even better than The Real Thing, a very personal album all about love, sexuality and faith. So here's one of the other nominees from the Mercury Prize in 1992. This is Even Better Than The Real Thing by U2.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm joined by a comedian who was last a guest here 5 years ago, and in the 5 years in between, he has won awards, he's travelled quite a bit of the world, selling a great TV show he invented, Taskmaster, and Alex Horn. Alex, welcome back.
Thank you.
You look baffled. I'm right, am I?
I was trying to think if I've travelled to different countries. I go camping in France. But how did you know about this?
Because I still have tabloid instincts, Alex.
Right.
And we have sources at this radio station to tell us things about you.
I thought you might have done. That was a nice introduction. And I've missed you, obviously.
What an amazing every 5 years you've had.
It's been fun, but I've got too many children, though, so... So every day is tainted by them at the beginning and the end. I really like them, but God.
I can share your pain on that. I have two annoying children of my own.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah.
How old are yours?
7 and 4.
Yeah, okay. Mine's 4, 6 and another, it's got to be 8, still around there. So the work's really fun, and anything that takes me out of the house is welcome. Yeah. I think you work harder when you've got children because your time is so limited. Every minute.
Yeah.
Is precious. So I've really enjoyed working with children. Just any excuse
to get out of the house,
pretty much.
Yeah, but you have been off traveling, haven't you? You went to America to record some more Taskmaster.
Yeah, we did. I spent 6 weeks in LA, being exotic. They looked at me like I was unusual and special. So it was brilliant. It was I can see why people film there as well. It's, I don't know if you're from Scotland, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very different.
Yeah. As people always say, it's either super healthy, but I find I'll normally belong at the other end of the spectrum when I go to LA, which is totally nefarious and dark.
Okay.
Where were you, Alex, and your wife?
I reckon I was exactly halfway between nefarious and healthy. I had some low moments.
Yeah.
But we just worked and worked and worked there, so we had to film 8 episodes in 5 weeks. So it was me and the director from England just cramming in the hours, and it was really fun. And the Americans, it turns out, are quite nice, and they were just people. So they were doing the same tasks as here, and it's just seeing people try to do stupid things as well as possible. So I think it's going
to
be good.
Ah, it's exciting time. So to start off, right, we're on the 5th series now of Taskmaster.
Mm, it's soon, really, in
it's,
an hour.
It's on in the next half an hour or so.
My word.
Is it like releasing an album? Do you feel a nervousness about this, even 5 series in, that people maybe won't respond to it the same way as they have in the past 4?
I definitely did the second time, because the first series went out. I think the unusual thing about the show is it's the same people in it every episode for a series. And so in the first one, we had people like Frank Skinner and Tim Key and Josh Whitcomb, and people really liked them. And you think, they might not like the next bunch. And then it seemed to work again, and I had the same nerves third time round. But I do think this series, they're a really mouth-watering cast from my point of view. So Bob Mortimer's on it, and you can't really go wrong if Bob's on it.
Universally, comedians always say Bob Mortimer's the funniest man alive.
Just his little face, honestly. I'd met him a couple of times and was in awe, you know, and badly. I wasn't able to speak to him because I think there's Bob Mortimer. But then I spent all this time with him in quite intimate moments. You know, I get into the boot of his car with him in half an hour on Dave. And I feel I know him slightly more now, but I'm still absolutely in awe. Just a funny, funny man.
Yeah, he's one of those blokes that's funny without doing anything, isn't he?
Yeah.
His physical comedy's
brilliant. Nice as well.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a downside to Bob Mortimer.
I remember bumping into him in Edinburgh during the festival once, and he had no idea who I was. And I just went, Bob Mortimer! And he said, yes.
Yes, yes I am.
I had nothing else from after that.
Oh, you let yourself down.
I did. I'd like to rewind the clock and do it again.
You just said his name.
That's all I had. Oh, it was poor. But one thing I'm really keen to find out is, after all these years, do people now say, why haven't I had the call? Why am I not part of the lineup this time around? Because it's a hot gig.
Thank you for calling it a hot gig.
It's a good gig.
Enjoyed that. I think it is a really fun one to do. If I was a comic, I would want to be asked, because all they do, they turn up, they have no warning, there's no prep, and they make fools of themselves, but only at their own whim. As in, we don't say, take your clothes off and jump in a pool. You know, they all do that because they want to. So we do have people asking. We have, agents asking us. But it still comes down to really me and Greg and a couple of others saying, these are the people we want. And it's getting easier to get them, but there are still targets we've got who say no.
We should be really professional, actually, and remind people what the essence of Taskmaster is.
Yes, Taskmaster.
You've probably got this down to a fine art by now, haven't you?
You'd think.
Here we go.
I don't really. Taskmaster. The Taskmaster is Greg Davies, the very talented but tall cliff of a man who sets tasks to five comedians, and I'm his assistant, and I'm there with the comedians as they do the tasks, and they do them one by one in isolation, so they don't know how each other is done, and it's stupid things like one of them, I was on a rowing boat in the middle of a lake with them, and they had to get me to shore as quick as possible, but on the boat they only had some useless equipment like a leaf blower and an umbrella and things like that, and then we go back to the studio months later, and they see for the first time how each other's done, and Greg has to judge it, and there's a winner. So it's not high concept, and it's not highbrow, but it's just, you do get to see into people's characters a bit. You see comedians flailing, and they're just funny people doing things.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Alex Horn is here, the genius buying Taskmaster.
Genius.
He's nervous because I've mentioned off-air that we've been doing a little bit of digging with our fellow colleagues here at Radio X. John Robbins
is a
good friend of yours.
He's a neighbour of mine. That's all it is. And so we've built up something of a relationship.
What curious neighbour he will be.
Oh, my words. It's so interesting living near John Robbins. But he sometimes mentions in his show that he's meeting up with me to go to a pub quiz.
Yeah.
And then other people... I don't want to encourage it at all, but people try to find the pub quiz.
Ah, really?
Because John Robbins in a pub quiz is quite amusing.
I can imagine.
He gets so cross, because it's often me and Tim Key and him.
Yeah.
And Tim really enjoys shouting the answers quite loud. And John gets so upset.
But he does. He believes in law and order. He's quite a strict gentleman, isn't he?
Yeah, the laws of this country. He really does, yeah.
Speaking of law and order, the Murray Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Is that an entirely above board event?
He will be a hero for mentioning that. So the Murray Cup is the major, well, it's the fifth major really in golf. It takes place next month in La Manga this year. And weirdly, me and John go and play golf with 18 doctors once a year. And I'm in the team Gibson, he's in team Murray, we won last year. And it's very competitive.
How did this come about? John Robbins, 18 doctors and Alex Horn.
Well, it came about because my brother-in-law, Eddie, who will very much enjoy getting a mention, plays golf. And his dad plays golf, my father-in-law. So I got into golf to try to fit in with the family. And I really like it. I sort of feel like I'm slightly embarrassed telling you that I like golf.
I'm a massive golfer. I love it.
Oh, we're going to stay in touch.
Yeah, we will. I've got invitations for you.
If a space comes in the Murray Cup.
Yeah, I'm in. Right. It's more important to me than anything else in the world.
Well, last year, somebody dropped out at the very last minute. So we'd done a few of these trips, and it's like the Ryder Cup. But we're useless at golf. And someone dropped out at the last minute. John was now my neighbour. I knew he liked golf, so I gave him a call, and he came. And, two comics and some doctors.
Wouldn't it be good if you dropped John Robbins and I turned up? You just send him a couple of pictures of us.
It would be the end of John Robbins, I think. He wouldn't come back from that.
Could be the inspiration for an Edinburgh Fringe show next year. More from Alex Horn in just a second, but this is Iggy Pop now on Radio X, The Passenger.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, the Mercury Prize will be awarded on Thursday night, and all
week I'm having a look back at former winners. What is the Mercury Prize, though, for those who don't know? It's a prestigious annual music prize for British and Irish acts, and it can be a game changer for bands. Album sales always skyrocket, and the winner takes away a £20,000 check. Not bad at all. Then again, Primal Scream did win it about 30 years ago and managed to lose the cheque, so it doesn't always end with a lovely bank balance. So anyway, the Scream won the first ever prize in 1992 for Screamadelica, which I discussed last night. Radiohead have been nominated 5 times. PJ Harvey's the only artist to have won more than once. And past winners have included Elbow, Arctic Monkeys, Dizzy Rascal, Suede, Skepta, The XX, Alt-J and Pulp. This year, the award will be presented by none other than Idris Elba, and the nominees include Alt-J for Relaxer, The XX for ICU, Blossoms for Blossoms, Sampha for Process, and Stormzy for Gang Signs and Prayer. Here's a little taster for you. It's a good year. So tonight's former Mercury Prize winner I'm going to have a look at is Franz Ferdinand's self-titled debut from 2004.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
Next.
Right, so Franz Ferdinand's debut was released on Domino on the 9th of February 2004. So if this album was a person, it would be a teenager, 13 years old this year. And if you remember Alex Kapranos, he'd been in quite a few bands before they finally made it big with Franz Ferdinand. He also had quite a few interesting jobs. He was a chef, a barman, music promoter, a driver, a welder and a lecturer. The rest of the band were made up of Bob Hardy, Paul Thompson and Nick McCarthy. What an interesting character he was. He was a classically trained pianist, double bassist. He studied in Munich and he eventually found himself in Glasgow, and he was in a jazz band when he met Alex Kapranos, and the musical magic started to happen. The self-titled debut went to number 3 in the UK, and the big hits were Take Me Out and The Dark of the Matinee. They made the top 10 in the singles chart, and Michael made the top 20, but it did very, very well indeed. The Mercury Music Prize winner in 2004 and nominated for Best Alternative Album at the Grammys. It sold a whopping 3.5 million copies worldwide, and Take Me Out has been streamed, get on this, 140 million times. It was produced by a Swedish bloke called Tori Johansson, who also did The Cardigan, Suede and Aha. Every track in the album's got some power behind it, real chugging guitars, and from the intro to Take Me Out all the way through, it doesn't ever let up, through brilliant songs like Jacqueline as well. I saw them loads in 2004, including at a working men's club in West London. It was a brilliant gig, absolutely amazing. I'll never forget that, with the bravery, I think, that they were playing with. I also saw them at the Astoria, which felt like a London showcase, and the girls at the gig were going crazy to the music. The first time I'd really seen that at a rock and roll show. So here we go, from that album, this is one of the big hits from Franz Ferdinand, 2004, the Mercury Prize winner, and the song is Take Me Out.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
Next.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
That was Take Me Out by Franz Ferdinand from their self-titled debut album, which was Mercury Prize winner in 2004. I'm Gordon Smart with your evening show, and every night this week we're doing a classic album special because the Mercury Prize is handed out on Thursday night, a real game changer for the artist who wins this year, plus a very tasty cheque for £20,000. So just to put you in the picture of 2004 when that album won, the other nominees included Basement Jacks for Kish Kash, Belle and Sebastian, Dear Catastrophe, Waitress, The Streets, A Grand Don't Come From Free, what a brilliant album that was, Jamelia, Thank You, no more said about that, and the late great Amy Winehouse and Frank. It really shows as well how it's come on from last night's classic album in 1992. The other nominees included Achtung Baby by U2, Simply Red and Erasure, St. Etienne and a few others. It really did move on. Spice Girls were nominated one year as well, so they don't always get it right. One other band who were nominated in 2004 for the Mercury Prize were Snow Patrol, Final Straw. That really does take you back. It was their third album, released in 2003, produced by Jackknife Lee, and it was a bit of a move on from their indie-led albums of the past. It gave the band huge mainstream success. Run was a massive hit, top 10 around the world, and then Leona Lewis got her hands on it, but we'll say less about that. Gary Lightbody wrote about failing relationships and breakups all the time, and then Jackknife Lee encouraged the band to open up the sound and make it more accessible. So they went off and did brilliantly, nominated in 2004 for Mercury Prize, and this is the big song from that album. This is Snow Patrol and Run on Radio X.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Alex Horn, you'll know him from Taskmaster, or maybe the Horn Section, if you're a big comedy fan. He is doing brilliantly at the moment. The series has been optioned across the world. I think you can even see it in Sweden. And a special edition in America as well with Reggie Watts.
Right? That's right.
So he plays Greg Davis, Reggie Watts, over in the US, and you are Alex Horn.
Exactly. But I would say he doesn't play Greg Davis in that. He's the Taskmaster, but he's very, very different, which is quite weird sitting next to him. He's less authoritative and more, I hate the phrase, but off the wall.
Right, yeah.
Not in a wacky way, but he's slightly more unpredictable. But yeah, it's really fun. Mm. I missed Greg. You know, I'd love to just be in the middle of Reggie and Greg.
Did you feel like you were cheating on him a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah, I did feel guilty. But also, I felt quite in control because I've done the show before and Reggie hadn't, so I did. I felt like I was sort of had a slightly more advanced role in the show. But mainly, I was just thinking the food is amazing.
Catering.
Oh, my. Yeah. American TV records. There were polos, just bowls of polos.
Yeah.
And I really, you know how I feel about polos.
Well, there's nothing more important in your life other than golf.
Golf, polos, children. That's the order.
What about the talent, the comedians who appear on it then? Because you've got, we should mention again, on the fifth series, Bob Mortimer, Nish Kumar, some great people, Sally Phillips,
Mark Watson, and Aisling Bee. Yeah. All good. And all very different. That's what I like about it.
It's a great combination.
It brings people together who wouldn't normally be in the same show.
Yeah. Are you like a cricket captain? How do you select those five? Is it down to you entirely, or does Greg say?
No, it's a mix between me and Greg, the production company, and the channel. But it's pretty harmonious. We all put together a list of the people we want, and there's never anyone on the show that no one wants. But we sort of meet in the middle, and yeah, there's not really a formula. There tends to be someone who's a bit older and a bit younger, but that's because that's what humans are. You know, there's always someone older than someone else, and there tends to be someone who's a bit more quirky, like a Tim Key or a Joe Wilkinson. But sometimes not. So yeah, we get a name and then we build it around them. I don't know, really. There's no... Yeah. Do you want to be on it? Is this what's happening?
Well, I was going to say, when Radio X's John Robbins sends you a message, says, I want to be part of this, how do you manage that conversation? Do you say, Greg's not for it? Sorry.
I want John Robbins on it, because John Robbins wants to be on it. He's a great Taskmaster supporter, so he comes around and suggests tasks to me.
Oh, great. If whether you want them or not.
Whether I want them or not, and I'd say 20% hit rate, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And we've used one. There's one this series called they open the envelope and it just says make Marmite, best Marmite wins, and that was out of Robbins's brain.
Of course it was.
And it's a really good task, because that's the right level. It's really hard to pitch them. Again, they're not meant to be wacky tasks, but they are meant to be unusual, and that's just right. I think one of the questions is whether we can do it with non-comics, because I'm quite keen to see James Blunt on it.
I thought he'd be very good at it.
I think he would, but it's a bit of a risk saying, no, we don't want you, Dara, we want James Blunt.
Yeah.
And if it turns out to be a bad decision...
I think that would be a brilliant idea.
Yeah. James Blunt, and then probably Matt Letizier, and then three comics.
While I've got you here, Alex, I've got to ask you to get involved in a really juvenile book I'm writing called Slash Gordon. It's a terrible pun, but the idea behind the book is I bumped into a lot of famous people in the toilet over the years and found myself having really awkward conversations, because you're forced to say something if you're beside somebody in the toilet. And I wondered if you'd help me fill the book out. So the idea is I might have been beside somebody famous, and I'd like to carry the book on. So who's the most famous person they've been beside at a urinal?
So I did an Edinburgh show in, I think, 2004 with Tim Key, and it's all about body language. And we sent a little camera. It's quite a long story, this.
It's about
an hour. We sent a little disposable camera to the presenters of The Really Wild Show, Chris Packham, Terry Nutkins, and Michaela Strachan, and said, can you take a picture of yourself doing some body language and send it to us? And they did it. Well, actually, Nutkins didn't. Strachan did. And Packham did. And I've still got mugs with their pictures on. But we also sent one as a sort of safety net to Gordon Strachan, who I imagine is one of your heroes.
A huge hero.
He's wonderful. And he came to the gig in Edinburgh. And before the show, I did Wee next to Gordon Strachan. And he's quite little, but he's also funnier than any comedian.
He's punchy.
He's a very funny man. And the show went pretty appallingly. He didn't enjoy it. He enjoyed Rod Gilbert this year. I remember he was telling someone on the radio his favourite shows, and we knew he'd come to our one.
Yeah.
Didn't like it. But but I had a really nice wee next to Gordon Strachan. It was just long, straight. I mean, in terms of, do you want to know the quality of the wee?
Yeah, I'd like to know the detail.
It was a very loud zip after, you know, just confident. Flipped it in, off we go.
He's got an awful lot of confidence, Gordon, for a smaller fella.
He's little. So he's quite close to the bowl. No worries with the aim.
Oh, Alex, it's such a pleasure to see you.
And you too, Gordon.
Five season, that's brilliant stuff. And what a lovely gang of people you've got around making that as well. It must be great going to work with characters like that.
It doesn't feel like work. Yeah. I quite often come home at the end of the day, sometimes on the tube, and I tend to be in a suit like I am at the moment, because Greg makes me wear that. and I go through what's happened that day. Like, I was on a train with a Boulder and Frank Skinner for an hour. You must have a great job.
Yeah. All the very best. The fifth series is on Dave. Mm-hmm. You can see it there. You can also see it somewhere else, can't you, if you want to stream it?
UK TV. UK TV Play, Gordon. Pretty sure it's called that.
It's very, very well sold. All the best, Alex. Thanks for coming.
I do. Right.
Okay, this is The Killers now on Radio.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, it was a big weekend for Radio X, broadcasting from Manchester on a really emotional night for the city. Dan O'Connell brought his show live from the reopening of the Manchester Arena. What an incredible night it was. Some really memorable performances and a perfect night to look forward at so many more memories to come down the line for a very special venue. I took my son Jimmy to his first ever gig. Not bad for a seven-year-old. That blossoms Cortina's Nolan. Who could forget Rick Astley doing the Foo Fighters? That was such a special moment. Unexpectedly, things I never thought I would say or see or hear at that venue, but it was really, really special. Earlier in the day, I came down on the train and bumped into the famous telly chef Tom Kitchen, and I grew up actually not far from him, and it was really odd going down with him because he was going to see Manchester City v Liverpool, which didn't work out well for him because he's a massive Liverpool fan, but that was just kind of setting the stage for the day. It turned out to be really, really brilliant. I went down to the City game with Noel. A 5-0 victory definitely helped the mood. If it had been the other way around, maybe the night would have been slightly different. But anyway, the mood was great and the stage was set, and what a night it was. Watching Noel Gallagher perform Don't Look Back in Anger, sung mainly by the crowd, there was a tear in his eye, and it seemed like a perfect moment, a special way to remember what happened 3 months ago. And to top it all off, Pep Guardiola, the Manchester City manager, former Barcelona player and Spain international, he was there. What a lovely bloke. I think my missus fancied him. I'm pretty sure Noel's missus fancied him too, and actually I'm pretty convinced Noel fancies him as well. But he was backstage. What a great man. And I can tell you this, Pep Guardiola seemed to know every word of Noel's songs. A proper fan, I clocked him singing. What a night, what a special night. Catch up on everything that happened, by the way, at radiox.co.uk, because there's loads of great stuff on there. Dan O'Connell's interviews with Blossoms and with Noel as well. Some great stuff on there. Go and check it out. Right, okay, speaking of charity gigs, I remember Noel once got off a plane from Sydney, turned up at the Astoria and played on stage with Chris Martin for Oxfam. So here is a little bit of Coldplay for you. This is Yellow on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
We are in the presence of greatness this evening. There's a little giggle there. Spellbinding showman, a magical genius. 17 years at the top of his game. 4 books under his belt. He's a household name. The mysterious but very impressive Darren Brown is in the studio.
Hi.
You happy with that, Darren?
Yeah, it was very flattering.
Is it accurate?
I just feel a bit ancient now.
17 years is incredible, really, to think that almost 2 decades of your career have been spent at the very top of your game.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like two decades have passed.
Yeah, I'd never actually thought of it as 17, isn't it? In my mind, it was like, I don't know, 14 the last time I thought about it. So, yeah. Fun. I've never had any sort of ambition at all, so I've only ever really just done what felt like it was fun at the time. Yeah, that hasn't really changed, I guess. So, yeah, it's all very nice.
Yeah. Still
thank
going.
You.
It's still going. No, it's great, Darren. It's good. Darren, if you don't mind, do you mind if I start with buttocks?
You may always start with buttocks. I tend to.
I'm going to start with the buttocks, Darren.
Yes.
1st of November, 2009.
Ah, yes.
You appeared in X Factor.
It was the other thing. The
Extra Factor.
Extra
yes.
Factor, that's it.
I think there's a glimmer of recognition here. Mm-hmm. I found an old tweet of mine. This was from 2009. I think Darren Brown just referred to me as a buttock on Extra Factor. And I just wondered if you remembered that, because it was one of the best put-downs I've ever received. And it was about Ollie Murs. You might not remember this, but I said, he's going to be a pop star one day. That was the year he came through. And I think the way I had said it, you thought I was a buttock. And for about a year afterwards, people said, Darren Brown called you a buttock on telly. So, Darren, thanks very much. In the context of your book, Happy...
What was wrong with you saying... Yeah, what was wrong with that, though? Why? What was my objection to
I
you
can't
saying...
Remember. I was hoping you would remember, because I can't.
I have a vague memory of calling someone a buttock, absolutely, but I don't remember why. Can I apologise and just clarify you are no longer a buttock?
Well,
I release you from that.
I was going to ask you not to apologise for it, because I've started reading your book, Happy. And there's so much in this that refers to
buttocks.
The world I lived in.
Mm.
Not buttocks, but just the way that fame affects people and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And your book is a fascinating explosion of the myth of what people think makes them happy.
Yeah.
And celebrity is a big part of that, I think. And X Factor is probably a big part of that as well.
Oh, God, yeah.
After writing this book... Maybe you should probably start off by explaining what the book's about and how... Because you do it beautifully in there.
We are all told nowadays that to be happy and successful, you should, you know, set your goals, believe in yourself, think positively, blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't really work. It's actually not a very realistic way of achieving anything called happiness. And there was a way of thinking which was Stoicism, and it was the Stoics were a very popular philosophical movement for 500 years, which they're coming back now. They're sort of re-emerging back into public consciousness, not entirely due to my book, but maybe in some small way. They had two big areas of thought, which we're sort of aware of nowadays, but they kind of really thought about them. One is that it's not events in the world that cause our problems. It's the stories we tell ourselves about what's happening. It's what we do in our heads. And secondly, if you don't try and control the things that you're not in control of, you will have a calmer and happier life, because you won't be frustrated by trying to control things that you are not in control of. And the only things you are in control of are your thoughts and your actions. That's it. And if you decide that those things are fine, they always are.
So I suppose the obvious question very quickly is, in the process of researching this, did you become happier?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it sort of reinforced... I mean, you may feel this, because I think any of us that are sort of performers often feel like kids in a world of grown-ups, like everyone else around you are the grown-ups, and you kind of feel like you haven't quite got that thing. I always felt like that. And really all that is that you're not... the story you're engaging in might be, as I said, that thing of just wanting to do what's interesting and fun and enjoyable in the moment, as opposed to... You know, I always felt like I should have some long-term goal. I should want to, I don't know, conquer America or do this or do that or be the most whatever, and that's never interested me. Which, again, you know, you can spend your life climbing a ladder and then realise you had it against the wrong wall.
Yeah.
You know, the
it's a good way to put it, yeah. It seems like a pertinent thing to talk about tonight, because we interview a lot of artists who come through, and we spoke to Beck the other day, and he's written an album deliberately to be really cheery and upbeat. And we're going to play a cheery and upbeat Beck song just to mark that occasion. This is his new single. It's called Up All Night. Get a bit of this on the Evening Show.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I still have Darren Brown in the studio, and he's smiling from ear to ear because he's a happy man. He's written a book about happiness. It seems to have worked. He's got an amazing show that's on in the West End as well. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But before we get to your new show in the West End, we always ask artists who come in here about the worst gigs they've done. Never mind the amazing gigs, the ones that go slightly wrong. And we were just discussing it, you know, the stakes are so high in your shows. When things go wrong, does it just become a bit of a disaster, or can you reverse out and fix it?
It's the nature of what I do that things are constantly going a bit wrong, so I'm constantly trying to steer them back onto the course they need to be on. I do remember in, I think it was Cardiff, might have been Belfast, a guy just started throwing up and didn't stop.
Oh, no.
Anything the body can produce, I've had produced anything in the audience. You know those, they did a test on tube train seats. I know this is an urban myth, but like anything the body can produce was found in like a square foot of a tube train seat. And I think if you took the auditorium seating as a whole from my tours, you'd end up with the same thing. That's extraordinary what people do. But they're not always aware of that during the show. But I do remember a guy came up and just a full-on like exorcist projectile that just didn't stop over me, over the stage. There was ushers with dustpans and brushes trying to... It was horrendous. It's kind of that thing of, like, if I'm sending out a slightly weird thing in terms of what I'm doing, and then you've got a couple of thousand people, one or two of them one night are going to respond to it also in their own weird way, then sometimes that can just be a quite, you know, bizarre combination of things that happen. And there's plenty of nights I have to go out after the show and just talk to people who can't get out the seats, are stuck to the seats and that kind of thing. This does happen. But it also is that thing, like, if you go and see a band and then you crash your car on the way home, you wouldn't blame the band for it. But suddenly there's, like, again, because of what I'm doing, it's like, well, that must be because of Darren Brown. And then if you're suggestible anyway and then you've got that idea in your head, that starts to go around, and I've done nothing, but somebody's walking away with something in their head that, you know, it won't go away. So that whole world is something I have to kind of take on board.
I'll get a compensation claim in on the way home this evening.
I think you should.
Thanks very much, Darren.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So before I tell you, I'm sure you already know the answer. Arctic Monkeys, whatever people say I am, that's what I'm not. Always struggle to say that. It was released on the 23rd of January 2006, 11 years ago, making me feel very old. The band then were Alex Turner, Jamie Cook, Andy Nicholson, who since left, and Matt Helders. Just a quick hello to Matt's dad, Clive, who listens in every night. What a top bloke. That album title, whatever people say I am, that's what I'm not,
where was it from? It was, I can't remember where it was from. Don't Believe the Hype was the original EP. There was a lot going around at that time, loads of hype. You remember Who Killed the Zootons and Gary Jules trading snake oil for Wolf tickets? The title was taken, that was Alan Stilito's book, Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, which is basically what the album's all about, a witty, snarling, honest portrayal of a normal night out in a northern town. It's almost a concept album when you think about it. The cover art is Chris McClure. You might recognise him because he's John McClure from Reverend the Maker's Brother, and Chris and his mates have just spent 70 quid on a night out, and that's what they got. What a clever way to find some artwork. It was the fastest selling debut album by a band to that date, number one in the UK, number one in the US indie chart, and get on this, this really places it in time. It was released a week early due to high demand because it was being leaked on MySpace and torrent sites. Remember them? The singles were I Bet You Look Good in the Dance Floor, When the Sun Goes Down, AKA Scummy Man, and Fake Tales of San Francisco in the US. It's all about Alex Turner's lyricism though, complete genius. Here's a little flavour of it for you now. Arctic Monkeys and Mardi Bum.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week. X.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Argumentative. And you've got the face on.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week.
X.
So all week we've been doing Mercury Prize winners because the big award is handed out tomorrow night, and that was from 2006. Whatever people say I am, that's what I'm not. Arctic Monkeys, Mardi Bum. Remember that? What a year it was. So here are some of the other nominees from 2006. You might find this quite interesting. Remember this? Brilliant. Hot Chip. That was The Warning. Loved this album. Love this song as well. Thom Yorke, a little bit more obscure. That was from The Eraser. Really good though. Remember this? Guillemots. That was Through the Windowpane. That's a bit of brass. And who could forget Muse for Black Holes and Revelations. A massive, massive album. Not a bad year that, 2006. I really fancy Hot Chip, but then again, I think Arctic Monkeys were the deserved winners. Another nominee that year were Editors for the album The Back Room. It was their debut, released in July 2005. It was released on Kitchenware Records and recorded and written by the band Thom Smith, Chris Urbanovich, Edward Leigh and Russell Leach. It's a dark and gloomy album, which is right up my street, but somehow still quite uplifting and optimistic. There were loads of comparisons around the time saying they sounded like Joy Division, mainly probably because of Thom's vocals sound very, very like Ian Curtis. They also shared influences since they were by the same type of pulsing, chugging, rhythmic, industrial German sound. So here it is, a bit more 2006 Mercury Prize nominee for you. This is Editors, and the song is The Backroom.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week.
X.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart, bringing you The Evening Show, and I have Darren Brown here, one of the finest magicians of his generation.
This
and
is
even some others as well.
And some others.
I was thinking back today about
and
some
future
of the and future generations. Some of the great things you've done over the years. The National Lottery trick was a brilliant one I remembered on the way here today. When you predicted the numbers.
I did, yes.
Successfully. The roulette.
Yes.
You got the guys to rob a bank.
I did.
Are you just the most irresponsible man in the world?
I'm just a big child with special powers.
And you're doing a best of show, right? So some of the best things you've done in the West End at the moment. You've been doing it now for, I think, two nights.
Yes, just started this week. It's been amazing. The reviews all came out today and they've just been, well, yeah, they've just been dizzying.
Excellent.
So it's been a lovely, lovely week, yes.
So we often ask musicians when they come in about how they choose their set list. What songs do they play? Is it a difficult decision for you when you look back across your back catalogue of work and then choose your favourite children?
Well, it was the nature of this show wasn't done as a sort of to be a best of. It was done as a show that I could take abroad to people that hadn't seen me before. So it was always going to be its own show with its own narrative and its own heart, but the material in it would come from previous shows. But then by the nature of doing that, you end up with the strongest, or feels like the strongest show you've ever sort of done, because it's got all the best bits. So it felt a shame not to then bring it here, but then obviously a lot of people will have seen the stuff before, so now it's billed now as the version of it that I'm doing here, which is a bit different from overseas, but is being billed as a best of. And we just went through, literally just dropped the list of, there were three of us always involved in making the shows. We all wrote down our favourite bits. And then you've got there's a certain template that we work to when we put the shows together. So we know we need like a short bit there and a big bit there and a closer and this and that. And then we fitted those bits in. Loads left over, so, you know, might do it again at some point. But yeah, and then to be able to go back and revisit those bits, because, you know, hopefully a better performer now than I was 10 years ago, say. So taking those things and redoing them has been...
So is that a good process then, improving things you've done in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. But also preserving the surprises for people that have...
Yeah.
You know, it's great if it's a new audience that haven't seen you, but of course here, plenty of people will have done.
But how do you do that in this day and age? How do you keep the surprise? How do you keep the secret?
Oh, that's the fun. And also, I ask people... I'm always amazed that people do it, but they do. I ask people every night to keep the contents of the show secret. And they really
respect
do.
That.
They really, really do. And it's, I guess it's like watching a film with a twist. You don't, you know, you're not going to tell everybody what the twist is because you want them to enjoy it as well.
And there are 6 weeks still to go. 14th of October.
14th of October.
And you can see it at...
weeks, I think. Yeah.
Is the, which theatre
four
is it?
4 weeks. It's the Playhouse Theatre, which is tucked away in London, sort of near the embankment, sort of behind Charing Cross Station. It's lovely. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous theatre. And yeah, till October the 14th.
And tickets are available if you want
to
know.
They are available. At the moment, yes, they are. It always sells out and you can't get a ticket. But at the moment, because we're at the start of the run, there are a few left, which is probably why I'm here talking about it. Probably why they've sent me.
Well, Darren, good luck with the show. It sounds like it's got brilliant reviews already.
Thank you
and
so
the book
much.
As well, Happy, which came out in June. It's in hardback. You can still get that. And
now in paperback, in fact.
It's
just come out in paperback, yeah.
People often think it's a glamorous business writing books, but there's one line in this book that really made me laugh. And you're sitting in a library in Nottingham, and there was an old lady who kept waking herself up with breaking wind.
Mm.
So it's not a glamorous process,
not
researching
glamorous,
books,
no.
Always, is it?
Sometimes it's like that.
Yeah.
It's a living hell.
It's a great book. I can't wait to finish it, actually, thoroughly into it. Darren Brown, all the very best with your live show. Good luck with the book.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
You're still a buttock.
The buttock. Thanks very much, Darren Brown. This is the Evening Show on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, I felt like I was in a parallel universe on Saturday night when Rick Astley covered Foo Fighters at the Manchester Arena. Days after, I heard that Dave Grohl was chasing Tears for Fears to work on their latest album. Anyway, I found out today that Justin Timberlake is on Concrete and Gold. Yes, that Justin Timberlake. Oh dear. Dave Grohl said, "We drink whiskey in the parking lot. He was really, really cool." Vid, you're going to have to switch it off. I listened to far too much of that at home with my daughter. Thank you. Then the night before, his last day, Justin says, "Can I sing on your record? I don't want to push it, but I just want to be able to tell my friends." So the band had him add some la-la-las to one track, and he nailed it. I'm telling you, the guy's going somewhere. Can you believe that? Justin Timberlake on the new Foo Fighters album, Concrete and Gold. Here is Mr. Grohl with a band Justin Timberlake definitely wasn't listening to when he was growing up. This is Nirvana, Come As You Are.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
21 years ago, Pulp's Different Class won the Mercury. Incredible. 1996. It came out on the 30th of October, 1995. Number one in the UK, went platinum 4 times. It was Pulp's 5th album, and it was them really hitting their stride. The previous albums, His and Hers, it was a breakthrough, but Different Class really cemented Jarvis Cocker and co. as proper songwriters. It was released right at the height, right at the peak of Britpop, and musically fitted in perfectly. It's sort of twee 60s-inspired guitars, traditionally English chord progressions, and post-punk song structures that didn't sound out of place alongside bands at the time like Blur, Sleeper, Supergrass, all of the Britpop heavyweights. What stood out though was their musical courage, lovely strings, great orchestral arrangements. But you've got to remember, Jarvis's lyrics, introverted, honest, bold, brave, and very, very uncomfortable at times as well. He was the relatable 90s middle-class Morrissey. That's what producer Vin told me anyway, but he was. Sex, drugs, unrequited love, all those things that mattered to teenagers at the time, all covered in the songs, but dripping with brilliant honesty and wit. And by the way, Jarvis at peak camp, new wave and disco influences, it really was good. The singles were Common People, Disco 2000, Sorted for Ease and Wiz, Misshapes and Something Changed. I'm going to give you a little bit of that right now. So, from Different Class, the winner of the Mercury Prize in 1996. This is Pulp and Something Changed.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
That was Pulp and Something Changed on Radio X. You're listening to The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart, and that was from Different Class, the 1996 winner of the Mercury Prize. And all week we've been going back through some of the previous winners and always puts it in context of the time if you mention some of the nominees. So from that year, 1996, when Pulp won,
How about this for some of the other nominees? War Child, which is a compilation album called Help, had some great artists on it. Radiohead, Oasis, all sorts of other great artists. And Paul McCartney, great nominee. How about this? Black Grape is great when you're straight. Yeah, I loved that album. It was excellent. Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory, missed out. Big controversy about that at the time. Courtney Pine, Modern Day Jazz Stories. And who could forget Mark Morrison, Return of the Mac. Lester's Finest Son before Kasabian came along and stole his thunder. I remember him getting arrested for doing something with a cattle prod at a garage. That was the kind of stuff Mark Morrison was up to at the time. So there you go, 1996, the Mercury Prize. It was a special year. One of the other nominees, Manic Street Preachers, Everything Must Go, was in there as well. It was their fourth album, released in 96, May 96. Went to number two in the UK, and it was the first album after the disappearance of the rhythm guitarist Richie Edwards, who also wrote all the lyrics. And Nicky Wire became the man in charge of doing all the lyrics. And he was obsessed with Wales and Welshness at the time. And I think he said, it's our best record, not afraid to say it, that was at the 10th anniversary of the album. And Everything Must Go, it was written as an apology for the fans and explained that they changed their musical direction after losing Richie Edwards. So the song I'm going to play from that album was Australia, and the reason they wrote that song is because the furthest someone can get from Wales, and Nicky wanted to escape from the emotional turmoil caused by the disappearance of Richie Edwards. So here we go, another band nominated that year, Manic Street Preachers, and the song is Australia.
The Evening Show, Classic Album of the Week.
Next. Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. It's been a pleasure having your company. Please leave a review, tell all your friends, and come and join us for another edition next week.
Radio X.